inshallah. We'll be continuing, inshallah ta'ala. So there's just a question first that I've been, where can we get the slides from? If you register for the class, you'll have access to both all the class recordings as well as we have a PDF handout of the class. So it has the notes and stuff there. And if you go to the, class page, it'll give you. So to continue by looking at the second narration of the hadith, the Imam An-Nawawi says, وَفِي رِوَايَةِ غَيْرِ التِّرْمِذِي, right, in a narration of other than At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah. And this narration in other than Imam At-Tirmidhi has weak chains of transmission, right? Has weak chains of transmission, right? It is related by a number of sources, most importantly by Imam Ahmad, with two chains, but both have inqita', are broken. But the hadith has well-established chains of transmission, because it was widely related. Right? It also has some weaker chains of transmission as well. Right? So when the hadith is established through contiguous transmission, but there's other transmissions that have some weakness in them, in terms of the chain, then those are taken, you know, in consideration, because they bring out aspects of the meaning, etc. Which is why it is mentioned. So in that narration, related by Imam Ahmad and others, it has come, احفظ الله تجده أمامك. Be mindful of Allah and you'll find Him in front of you. Be mindful of Allah and you'll find Him in front of you. And one of the benefits of these kinds of narrations is that they bring out the meaning of other narrations. They bring out the meaning of other narrations. Be mindful of Allah and you'll find Him in front of you. And we looked at the meaning of this, right? We looked at the meaning of this. Tujahak, before you, meaning amamak, in front of you. And of course, the in front of you here is not meant literally, because it is not meant physically, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a physical body. Right? He is the creator of all bodies. Right? Because a body is bound by space, where Allah is the creator of all space. Right? تَجِدْهُ أَمَامَكْ. You'll find him in front of you. And as Ibn Ata'illah says in his beautiful munajat, his hikam, his aphorisms, which is one of the greatest works of Islamic spirituality, Ibn Ata'illah's teacher, Abu al-Abbas al-Mursi, when he was shown this work by his student, Ibn Ata'illah, he said, "Ya bunay, laqad lakhasta al-ihya wa zidt 'alayha." Right? That, my son, my dear son, you have summarized the Ihya of Imam al-Ghazali and added to it. And they say it's of the greatest of works of Islamic spirituality, summarizing the spiritual wisdom of previous spiritual masters. It's an incredible work. And at the end of it, he has a hikam. And then he has certain letters that he wrote in spiritual advice. And then he has some munajat, some entreating the divine, some intimate address of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're really beautiful. And one of them, he says, إلهي ماذا فقد من وجدك وماذا وجد من فقدك إلهي ماذا فقد من وجدك. That the one who finds you, what have they missed? And the one who misses you, what have they found? So be mindful, full of Allah, and you'll find Him in front of you. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Get to know Allah in ease, and He will know you in hardship. Get to know Allah in ease, تعرف, right? And how do you get to know Allah? How do you get to know Allah? And it doesn't say اعرف, it doesn't say know Allah. It says تعرف, and تفعل has a sense of deliberation and continuity in the meaning of the verb. تعرف, get to know Allah. Right? The ulama say there's two aspects of this. One is by having consistency in turning to Allah. Because the acts of turning to Allah, the acts of worship, the acts of asking and seeking, each of these, in worship, what is the most significant thing? It's neither the worshipper nor the worshipping, but the one worshipped. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish the prayer in remembrance of me. The one being prayed to is greater than the one praying and greater than the prayer. Right? As is obvious, though we forget. Right? Similarly, in your asking, your seeking, the one asking is not the one who's important, nor the asking. It is the one asked. Right? So get to know Allah, right, through consistency and turning. And that's a realization that takes time to sink in. Get to know Allah in ease, through consistency in turning, and by maintaining two critical qualities. Maintaining your sense of neediness to Allah and your gratitude in ease. And these are two qualities that we always have to work, yeah, to nurture your neediness and your sense of gratitude in ease. And if you do the, if you strive for consistency in turning and you nurture your neediness and your gratitude, then there's a divine guarantee. If you take care of Allah in difficulty, He'll take care of you in ease. One, because through that consistency in turning, through that neediness, through that gratitude, you will have living faith. And it's when you have living faith that you'll be able to behold the realities of difficulty and not merely the form of difficulty. So you'll see right. You'll be able to respond right. And you will have the right, the right meaning the desirable response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And in this, it's worth looking at, as an example of the promise of Allah taking care of those who take care of Him, of His rights, is the example of the three who are stuck in a cave. They're on a journey, and it was a stormy night, so they took shelter in a cave. And because of the turbulence, a rock fell down and blocked the entrance of the cave. And each asked Allah by good that they had done before. And eventually the rock stumbled away. And that hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And it's actually mentioned by Imam Nawawi in Riyadu Salihin, in the chapter, I believe it's in the chapter on repentance, of the three stuck in a cave. And if someone could share that in the forum, it's a beautiful hadith that has many lessons worthy of reflecting upon. Then there, of course, there's levels of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I get to know Allah. Ibn Hajar and others of the commentators on the 40 Nawawi mentioned that there's two levels of knowing Allah. There's the knowing Allah that is general, which is the knowing of affirmation and faith. that you affirm that Allah is one, and you believe in that. But you may be conscious of Him and or not conscious of Him in the world of means. Maybe, maybe not. Right? But then there's the higher level of knowing Allah, which is through turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, directing yourself to Allah, right? Finding intimacy in Allah, right? Uns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, finding tumanina, finding serenity and rest in His remembrance, feeling that sense of shyness before Allah, of beholding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ta'abudullah ka'annaka tara, so you enter into that state of spiritual excellence, which is true, lasting joy. It's coming to see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَان. For the one who has awe of the station of their Lord, they have two gardens. Okay. I said there are two gardens in paradise, but also they have the garden of contentment in this life and the eternal garden of in the hereafter. It's confirmed by the ayah on divine electhood. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Truly, the friends of Allah, the awliya of Allah, the elect of Allah, have no لا خوفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. They're not to be feared for. And nor shall they ever grieve. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believed and were ever mindful of Allah. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى. Theirs is the glad tiding. When? فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. In this life, theirs is the glad tiding in this life and in the hereafter. Right? There's the glad tiding in this life and in the hereafter. And there's no changing the words of Allah, right? The verse. Right? And what's Allah's knowing the servant? Right? Because it says, get to know Allah in ease and He will know you in distress. Allah's knowing the servant is a general knowing of the servant, which is by His encompassing knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows absolutely everything about absolutely everything. The necessary, the possible, and the impossible. In every way, without ever not having known it. But then there's also the al-ma'rifa al-khassa, right? The elect knowing, right? Which is His loving His servant. His drawing His servant close. His answering His servant. His assisting His servant. But as you are with Allah, so shall you find from Him. But multiplied many times over unimaginably. Right? As it's come in the Hadith Qudsi, whoever draws close to me by an arm's length, I draw close to them by two arm's lengths. And whoever draws close to me by two arm's lengths, I draw close to them. Whoever draws close to me by a handspan, I draw close to them by an arm's length. Whoever draws close to me by an arm's length, I draw close to them by two arm's lengths. And whoever comes to me walking, I rush to them. Every little that you do, consistently, Allah magnifies its consequence. And then have certitude regarding destiny. That know what missed you was never, ever going to hit. And what hit you was never going to miss. So this gives you, one, the believer does not fear means. Although most of us do. Most of us fear means. What's going to happen? And you go to the job interview, you're worried about the interviewer. We place our hope and trust in the world of means. But in reality, لا نافع ولا ضار إلا الله. There's none who benefits nor harms except Allah. One of the great righteous from the Salaf, he was in battle. And his enemy knocked his sword and then tripped him over. And he was lying on the ground, this great righteous servant of Allah. And the enemy, his enemy, took a dagger and had it at his neck. Then out of nowhere, an arrow came and hit his enemy. But he said, but it was the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at that moment, when that man's dagger was at my neck, I had no fear of him in any way whatsoever. That is the state of people who are on the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he was resting against a tree, and he'd left his sword, right? He's sleeping. So this man came, who was a disbeliever, and he grabbed his sword and caused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to wake up. And he said, who will now protect you from me? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just looked at him and says, Allah. And the man dropped the sword. Like, he was so awed by that. He had a sword. All he had to do was just strike his neck. That's it. He says, who will protect you from me? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah. But he said it, he did not say it with his tongue. That was an expression of the state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? That there's none who can benefit me nor harm me, give nor take, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the man dropped his sword. But so we have one concern, but we have complete consideration. So the Prophet took the sword and says, who will protect me, you from me now? So the man was a smart man. He said, Kun khayra akhidh. Said, be the best of takers. So the Prophet ﷺ told him to go. And he believed. And he returned to his people and told them to believe in the Prophet ﷺ as well. Right? So this tells you that all you possess is your choices. Right? Make the right choices and don't second guess. Right? Don't second guess that if regarding something that already happened, it happened and it's not going to change. So you don't second guess. Had I done this, it would have been so and so. Because that opens the workings of the shaitan. You are not a prisoner of your past choices. Right? Doesn't matter what you did. Right? The path to Allah is always clear. The door to Allah is always open. Right? So there's always a right response in turning to Allah. And the other lesson in it, that know that what missed was never going to hit and what hit was never going to miss, that you make your choices. You don't have any control in the outcomes of what already happened and also what's going to happen. That you make the best choice. What's going to happen, you have no control nor any sway in it. So, you consign matters to Allah. You have tafweel. So this causes the believer in making their choices, they don't limit themselves by past failures. That, well, I'm a loser. No. Right? You are a servant of Allah. All you have to do is, how do you serve Allah in the way that's going to be most pleasing to Allah in your life choices? Which requires consideration, consultation, etc. But you're not the prisoner of those past choices. And this is one of the mercies of the Sharia. That you made bad choices, the Sharia has come with all kinds of graces. Someone wronged themselves. The Sharia guards your right to privacy, to preserve your good name, not to disclose your sins, so you can preserve your best interests. Right? So you make choices that are pleasing to Allah and that facilitate good for you. Right? And this is at the heart of the counsel of Ibn Abbas, the counsel that we look at. That إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Right? That really, it is as it were a commentary on this central meaning affirmed in the Fatiha. That you alone we adore. And this is a good, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ عِبَادَةً is the English word worship can sometimes have only a devotional aspect, right? But worship has many other aspects. The word adore in old English was used directly for worship, right? But has the sense of the outward worship, but also what the worship expresses of awe and love, right? And it would be worth trying to resurrect it, right? And there's a number of translators who do use it, right? You alone we adore, and look it up. Doesn't hurt to use the dictionary once in a while. You alone we adore. It's not just love, right? It is worship out of awe and love. And you alone we rely upon. Right? So knowing Allah in His attributes of lordship and majesty and beholding thereby His beauty. And in that, right, the Prophet ﷺ called us in one, and it's actually one of the narrations of this hadith, that فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ تَعْمَلَ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِالرِّضَى فِي الْيَقِينِ فَفْعَلْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you are able to act for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, out of contentment in certitude, then do so. That this is the if you want to act, the highest level of acting in both pleasing things and displeasing things is أن تعمل لله تعالى, that you act for Allah alone, mighty and majestic, بالرضا, with absolute contentment, grounded in certitude, في اليقين, فافعل, then do so. This is the best state to be in. You're content and have complete certitude in Allah. That's the state. Things are pleasing, displeasing, you are content. Because you know who you are and who He is. You are a servant, He's your Lord. Right? So you're content. And your Lord is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the merciful, the caring. وَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ, but if you're not able to have contentment and complete contentment and complete certitude, فَإِنَّ فِي الصَّبْرِ عَلَى مَا تَكْرَهْ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, then being patient in the things you dislike, that has great good in it. So the higher state is contentment in all states. But you can't have complete contentment, then at least have patience. And patience is تَرْكُ الْإِعْتِرَاد, leaving objection. And then the Prophet ﷺ gave us some keys of success in life. And know well, wa'alam, anna nasra ma'a sabr. Know that victory comes with patience. And this is, victory comes with patience because the whole purpose of life is for you to be tested. If you don't think you're being tested, you don't get what's going on in your life. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who has created death and life in order to truly try you. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. إِبْتِلَاء is intense trial. That's why the whole purpose of life is test. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ, who created death and life in order to try you. And what's the purpose of what's success in the trial? That which of you is better in action? Right? And that's a promise. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we will indeed try you. Right? And what is the success in it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to the patient. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we will indeed try you. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ, with something of fear and hunger. وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, and diminishment in your wealth and your person and your fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give glad tidings to the patient. Right? And from that, know that the people most pleasing to Allah are the ones who are tested the most. The Prophet ﷺ told us أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء. The people most intensely tried are the prophets. No one is tried like the prophets. ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. Then the best after them and the best after them. So if you find intense trials, be intensely thankful. Don't ask for difficulty, ask for ease. But if he sends you difficulty, accept it. Be content with it. Be thankful that this is an opportunity to express your love of Allah. And then make the choice that's beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And part of that is that this is the highest striving. Right? Ibn Hajar mentions that, you know, once the highest striving is to be patient in what is pleasing to Allah. Right? Once the companions were returning with the Prophet ﷺ from jihad. And the Prophet ﷺ, and they were really happy because they did one, etc. So the Prophet ﷺ said, قَدِمْتُم مِنَ الْجِهَادِ الْأَصْغَرِ إِلَى الْجِهَادِ الْأَكْبَرِ. You have come from the lesser jihad to the greater jihad. And they said, what is the greater jihad? He said, مُجَهَدَةُ الْعَبْدِ لِهَوَاهِ. The servants striving their jihad against their capricious inclinations. And this has some weakness in it, but it's confirmed by the Prophet ﷺ saying, المجاهد من جاهد نفسه لله عز وجل. The mujahid, the one who truly strives, is the one who strives against their lower self for the sake of Allah. That's the first promise, that victory is with patience. The second, وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ. That relief comes with distress. Relief comes with distress. So when the distress comes, it requires a certain response. Firstly, have a good opinion of Allah. That this is not punishment, it's not this, it's that. It's an opportunity for right response. Whatever it is. Whether it's pleasing or displeasing, but even the displeasing, have a good opinion of Allah. That this is sent as an opportunity of right response. And behold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through it. Behold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through it. Feel your neediness to Allah. It is facilitated by keeping good company. Right? Because difficulty isn't easy. Right? And it's when difficulty comes, it's the shaitan, the minister of disinformation, will tell you, you know, that look, this is too difficult. What's the point of turning to Allah? He didn't answer your dua when you asked for this and that. You know, the minister of disinformation starts working. But if you keep good company, you keep the company of people of faith and certitude, they'll help you gain clarity. And when unsure, consult. When you're unsure, consult. Right? And have that sense of hope and realize that your hope and fear is not in dunya, but rather in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Your hope and fear is not in dunya, but rather it is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَأَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. Right? وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ. And that relief comes with the difficulty, right? But also that the relief is there with the difficulty, right? That in that difficulty is relief. Why? Because if you respond right to the difficulty, the true relief, right? True relief, if faraj, is that which opens doors for you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that karb comes. Outwardly, it looks like it's difficult. But if you turn in the right way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the difficulty, that itself is an opening of a door with Allah. So it relieves you from distance to Allah to closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a relief. Right? And it could be something like waswasa. You have waswasa in your life. Yeah, you get confused about wudu, or you get, you know, you make mistakes all the time. Right? So you tell your your mother-in-law, you look really good for your age. You say, are you old? Says, not that old. So you're saying, I'm kind of old. And you, next thing, you find yourself saying, well, yes. And she gets mad at you. Right? So you get yourself in a distressful situation, whether it's waswasa or foolish talk. Never talk to a woman about her age, right? And what happens? But you see that as an opportunity for turning to Allah. So you ask Allah, Allahumma yassirli, and you respond right to it. So you get a gift to your mother-in-law and you apologize and, you know, and you commit to being nice to her. And it makes things better for you in this life, but also this is a turning to Allah. And that's the true faraj, right? The true relief is that which relieves you from distance and grants you closeness with Allah. And the final, وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى, and that with difficulty comes ease. And this is pointing to Surah, what Allah Ta'ala tells us in Surah Alam Nashrah. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى, that truly with difficulty comes ease. Truly with difficulty comes ease. Okay. So there's two eases that are promised. Right, as a, you know, for that one difficulty. Because inna ma'al usri yusra. Indeed, with difficulty comes ease. Right? Fa'inna ma'al usri yusra. Truly with the difficulty comes ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Indeed, with the difficulty comes ease. So the difficulty mentioned is one. Because the L there is, you know, they say that Al-Ma'rifa, إِذَا أُعِيدَتْ, right? If the definite article is repeated a second time, it's the same thing that's being mentioned. Right? Whereas the indefinite, if it's repeated, it's referring to two different things. So the difficulty is mentioned, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ, and then إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ. With the difficulty comes ease. Indeed, with the difficulty comes ease. So it's one difficulty that's mentioned, and there's two eases. And they say, the two eases, what are they? One is the ease that comes with the difficulty itself, which is it the difficulty itself. What is true ease? True ease is that the yusr is ma yuyassiru laka al-khayr fi talabillah. That which facilitates, that which eases for you the good in your turning to Allah. So the difficulty itself comes with an ease, which is it's a means of turning to Allah. And the second ease is the ease that is the consequence of the difficulty. That if you look at our lives, we have, you know, our life is ease punctuated by difficulties. Okay, but the punctuation is just secondary. Most of our life is easy, even in difficulty. Right? Even in difficulty. Right? Most of it is ease. Right? There's only certain moments of difficulty, but it goes and the ease returns. So this is confirming that meaning of being patient and being content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being patient and content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And having that certitude, right? That the ease is coming with the difficulty through turning right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. So it is easing for you, closeness to Allah. That is true ease. And then its consequence will be ease of this life and the next in its consequence. And this is reiterating this concept in closing of finding sufficiency with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever places their trust upon Allah, Allah is their sufficiency. Allah is their sufficiency. Right? And that's the call of this hadith. Right? That trust in Him completely, seek from Him completely, and you will find Him. Right? كُنْ مَعَ اللَّهِ تَرَى اللَّهَ مَعَكْ. Right? As the great poet said, كُنْ مَعَ اللَّهِ, and others said, يَكُنْ مَعَكْ. Be with Allah, and he'll be with you. Right? So this is a really amazing hadith. And really, despite having spent a lot of time on the hadith, we're just touching upon a little of what can be mentioned about this hadith. It is worth going through Ibn Rajab's commentary on this hadith. It is quite long, it's like 40-something pages, but it's worth it. And it's one of the hadiths, like one of the, we quoted last class, one of the scholars said that, "I wish I had reflected more on this hadith, because there's so much to it. There's so much to it." So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the success to be of those of reflection. So any questions here? Go ahead. So the question was, you mentioned that there's physical means and spiritual means. What are some of the spiritual means? The greatest spiritual means is certitude in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? أنا عند ظني عبدي بي. As it's come in the hadith Qudsi, "I am as my servant thinks of me." That's the greatest of means, is complete certitude in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, وَأَنَا مَعَهُ حَيْثُ يَذْكُرُنِي. And I'm with them when they remember me. So there's the spiritual means, the acts of remembering Allah. And that's both through dhikr, and to make whatever one does of worship or life an act of remembrance. وَأَنَا مَعَهُ حَيْثُ يَذْكُرُنِي. And I'm with them as they remember me. وَتَحَرَّكَتْ بِي شَفَتَاهُ. And their lips move out of my remembrance, by my remembrance. وَتَحَرَّكَتْ بِي شَفَتَاهُ. And their lips move by my remembrance. Right? That when you are making a remembrance, what are you remembering first? You're remembering the remembered before engaging in the remembrance. Because how do you remember Allah? By Allah's facilitation. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. You only remember Allah if He facilitates remembrance for you. Because you have to be careful, you know, that your worship of Allah should not cause you to become arrogant. I did 1,000 la ilaha illallahs. It's like you're saying, "Subhani, glory be to me." Right? Like, so what? Like, I mean, think of, you know, like, that's complete delusion, right? But rather, you know, your worship should make you realize your nothingness before the greatness of Allah, right? So that hadith really summarizes the greatest of means, right? I am as my servant thinks of me. That having complete certitude in Allah, having a good opinion of Allah, placing one's hope and fear and reliance and trust upon Allah. And I'm وَأَنَا مَعَهُ حَيْثُ يَذْكُرُنِي. And I'm with them as they remember me. This is both in the act of remembrance, but to make everything in one's life an act of remembering Allah. You change your kids' diapers as an act of remembering Allah. Right? You drive your car as an act of remembering Allah. You do your work as an act of remembering Allah. Right? Everything. You laugh and cry out of Allah. هو الذي أضحك وأبكى. He is the one who makes you laugh and cry. وَتْحَرَّكَتْ بِي شَفَتَاهُ. And their lips move by my remembrance. Or their lips move by me. تَحَرَّكَتْ بِي شَفَتَاهُ. And their lips move by me. That in the remembrance, you behold Allah, you behold the remembered before the remembrance. That's something to strive towards, right? But through successive approximations, one reaches. How do you respond to someone who says that if every good and bad is already decreed, what's the point of striving for anything in life? That's your choice, right? The Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق من أجله. He said, act. For everyone was facilitated for what they were created for. And some people were created to object to Allah. And if you want to object, ahlan wa sahlan. And, you know, you will see the consequence. اعملوا. Allah Ta'ala says, اعملوا. فسير الله عملكم. Act. And Allah will see your actions. ورسوله. And the messenger will see them. والمؤمنون. And the believers will see it. Right? That's a reality. Right? Why not sit back and relax? That's your choice. You're affirming that you have the choice to sit back. Right? So the person saying this is a type of inad, a type of denial. That I'll just sit back and see what Allah does with me. That is one, you're yourself admitting that you have a choice to sit back. Number two, right? You are the one who's arrogating themselves. That your Lord, the one who's told you that everything is decreed, is the one who has commanded you to act. So when you refuse, it is you who has refused. وَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةِ. And that's why Allah has the manifest proof over His servants. Because He gave them choice. Right? Everything is decreed. Does that include all non-physical? Everything. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ بِقَضَاءٍ وَقَدَرٍ. Right? Everything is by decree and destiny. Everything. Right? What is reality? Reality is Allah was and there is nothing besides Him. Of course, and He is as He ever was. Right? Everything besides Allah only came into existence because He chose it to be and because He sustains it as it is. Our intention before an action. Yeah. So is intention in reality is asking? Yes, you're in everything that you do is in reality an asking from Allah. So they say that's why if you want to make your actions beloved to Allah, every action should be done in a state of asking Allah. Your prayer is an asking Allah. Your work is asking Allah. How you drink water is an asking of Allah. Yeah, you can fail to ask. And what is the essence of the asking? Is you do it out of neediness with gratitude. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a servant who is truly thankful? That is the prophetic state. Is neediness, ubudiyya to Allah, slavehood to Allah, which is complete neediness and complete gratitude. If someone wants to do something but doesn't ask Allah for it, is it still considered a dua? Your actions are a vessel. And what you and how you seek them and what you seek by them is the meaning that you place in it. Any other questions before we close, inshallah? Go ahead.
I was just wondering, when we talk about Allah being the sole effector of existence, the cause and effect, you said that concern is what choice you have given to Allah. So, could we say that whatever Allah decides for us,
yeah, so what Allah chooses for us is best for us. I mean, that's if one sought the good in a way that is good, then whatever outcome happens is good for us. One, ultimately in the hereafter, but also in this life. There's a difference between the command of Allah and what is pleasing to Allah. And we distinguish. Not everything that Allah wills is pleasing to Him. Because Allah wills all things. Right? What is pleasing to Allah relative to us is what's pleasing to Him is what He has commanded us to do. Right? So the difference between the will, command, and pleasure of Allah. Right? Allah's pleasure is in accord of His, you know, of His servants, is in accordance with what He commanded them. So the one who seeks what He commanded and does what He commanded, that is pleasing to Allah. And the one who does what He forbade or seeks what He's forbidden, That is displeasing to Allah. But He willed everything. Did Allah will the disbelief of Fir'aun? Yes. Did He command it? No. Was it pleasing to Him? No. Right? So His pleasure revolves around His command. And He willed everything. Right? Because we affirm both divine will and human choice. So the good and bad, the pleasing and displeasing, is in accordance with the human choices. Not in accordance, the good and bad does not relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because His will relates to everything. Good and bad relates to human choices. We don't have this misperception that God must do the good. God does everything. We say God is an-nafi'ud dar, the creator of all benefit and all harm. Good and bad relate to the choices of those morally responsible. Go ahead. No, He's willed everything, including your choice. Who created your choice? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الَّذِي أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. He's the one who makes you laugh and cry. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. What surah is that from? وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ. You do not will except if Allah wills. Because everything, all that comes to be, is because Allah willed it in eternity. In accordance with His knowledge. And when it happens, is because Allah created it with His power in accordance with what He willed. What Allah's will? Allah's will. Will, specify, they define will, irada, as تخصيص الله تعالى بعض الممكن ببعض ما يمكن له. Right? It's Allah's will is Allah's specifying some of the possible with some of what is possible for it. He chose that this is what will happen. Okay? And what Allah willed in eternity is what He creates in the context of time and space. So He willed everything and He creates everything. But what did He will? He willed in accordance with His knowledge. Knowledge shows things as they are. So He knew all the choices that we would make. And that's what He willed for us. And that's where Allah's proof over us is, that He knew the choices we would make. How does that work? Is beyond our understanding. We affirm these two realities, that Allah willed and created all things, and we affirm that Allah has given us choice. And if you don't believe He gave us choice, come here. I'm tempted to throw this at Shuaib, but I won't. Okay, someone who signaled. Okay, Omar, come here. Okay. Come closer. Okay, I don't know. Okay. So, come closer. Okay. So, did I choose to throw this cup of water? Right? Right? Of course I did. Here, catch this. Did I choose to break that cup? Is everyone okay? Anyone got hurt? I threw the cup of water. I threw the water. Only a fool would... Did anyone get hurt? No. Okay. I chose to throw that cup. Right? Only a fool would deny it. Right? But did Allah create it? Yes. Allah created that. Right? So when I threw that cup, I threw it a good, 10 feet. And it broke. Because someone may be very gifted at many things, but apparently he hasn't played cricket. Because he would have caught it. Whereas the way you catch things, because the sunnah is to take the right means, you don't grab at it, you let it come to you. And that's how you take the means. Right? You're not hasty in taking the means. So, I threw it. Did I choose it? Yes, I did. Of course. But did I create that throwing? No. Allah created... Allah created me. He's sustaining me at every moment. So by definition, when I threw that cup and successfully broke it, alhamdulillah, that's the first. I've thrown water at people many times, but first time I've actually broken the cup too. Right? When I threw that, Allah is sustaining me at every moment. So by definition, Allah is sustaining, He's creating and sustaining all the choices I make, all the actions that I do. So I chose to throw that. But Allah created that with His power in the context of time and space. That's qadr. That's destiny unfolding. Did He will that in eternity? Yes, He willed it in eternity. But He willed in accordance with His knowledge. So He knew that right around 10 p.m. on a Wednesday night, far beyond the end of the class time, this guy called Faraz will be throwing this cup. So did He force me? No. We affirm Allah created it with His power in the context of time. That's qadr. He decreed it with His will. That's qada. Beyond time. In accordance with His knowledge. Knowledge showed that this is the choice I would make. So we affirm both realities. How does it really work? The Prophet ﷺ said, if people start talking about destiny, meaning going beyond what you can know about destiny, remain silent. That's beyond our understanding. We cannot fathom absolutely the eternal. There's certain things that we can affirm, certain things we can deny. Right? This is why Imam al-Tahawi says in his Aqidah that Qada and Qadr is a secret that Allah has placed in His creation, the complete reality of which no angel nor prophet can understand completely. What we can affirm is that we affirm that qada and qadr is a reality and that human choice is a reality. And both are affirmed and there's no contradiction between the two. Beyond that, there's no way for us to know how it truly works. Like absolutely. Right? But these are things. Right? And of course, Sidi Mikael asked a question, but is His pleasure with it? The question, I had a good intention in throwing the cup. Had I hurt someone, that might have been foolish. But I also had a husn al-dhan, I had a good opinion of the brother I threw it towards. That being from a Caribbean country in origin, he would be able to catch. Right? Because the other Caribbeans that I deal with, when I see them happy, I know that the West Indies cricket team is doing well. Especially when they're looking at a cell phone. Right? The administration at IMO are all cricket fans. So I figured the administration at other masajid and centers who are from the same sort of nations would be as well. But this is generational gaps, I guess. So we'll stop there. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And yeah, he's from the Caribbean, but unfortunately not a great fielder. And that's just how West Indies cricket, of course, has unfolded. They had, you know, previous generations that produced great cricketers. And now, may Allah forgive. Right? Alhamdulillah. So we'll stop there bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And sorry we went well over time, which we're striving not to, but this is one of the most detailed of the hadiths in the 40 Nawawi. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.